Roadhouse, vastly underrated film.
You guys are both into Roadhouse?
Such a great film. Sleazy. What else do you need to know? You can deconstruct this film forever. The more you watch it, the more mysteries unfold.
I've never seen anyone enjoy Roadhouse more than I do.
What?
My friend's wife, Kelly Lynch, plays the doctor that stitches up Swayze in the movie.
Yes.
She's the romantic interest, right? The unattainable.
Yes.
Romantic interest. And I have, for the last, I don't know, probably about 25 years, called his home in the middle of the night and said, "You don't know me, but your wife's getting slammed up against the wall by Patrick Swayze. She's not putting up much of a fight." And then hang up.
Just a fool to believe I have anything she needs.
What is that?
She's like the wind.
Oh, I see. I'm used to hearing that only coming out of Patrick Swayze's mouth.
Through my tree.
And used to only hearing it in bar jukeboxes 15 years ago, so you understand I was a little confused what you were going for there.
Well, I did it because We're talking Dirty Dancing today.
Yeah. It was,
we promised last week.
I think there was a misunderstanding.
Last week
you said Dirty Dancing.
Hours watching
and
it.
And I said yes, but I was joking, Matt. This is just because he does one jump kick with like balletic grace in that movie does not mean that it is an action movie. We can't be talking about Dirty Dancing. Are you crazy? I carried a watermelon.
People were getting it on. There was that kind of action.
Oh, yeah, big time. Fucking babies all sweaty and they're slinking around on the floor. That's a real sexy scene there. And then Jennifer Grey went and got that nose job, and I was like, no, thank you. I used to like you when you were Jewy and young.
Huh. So we weren't supposed to watch that movie.
I mean, you could have watched it.
I did.
I hope it's not all you watched, because I got a lot of notes on some other stuff. It's going
to
be
an awkward show. To have watched?
Well, we were supposed to have watched Next of Kin.
I've seen that one, too.
Oh, good. So we can talk about it. It's no problem.
Which is the one where Swayze's just out of jail and he's got those two kids?
Oh, that's like, it's something just like generic, like father, Mr. Daddy or something.
I've seen that too.
Dad the father, my father the dad. Parenthood, that's what it's called, because he's a criminal and he's a parent.
No, Parenthood's the one with Steve Martin.
No, that's Parenthood one word. This is Parenthood two words, or Fatherhood, I guess, probably.
I think it might be
Fatherhood. Hood is definitely in there.
Look, if we're talking something in Swayze's catalog, I should be good, unless it's Roadhouse. I've never seen that.
Okay. So, rough. I guess we'll pivot. It was the 30th anniversary of Roadhouse being being released there on May 19th, 1989.
Don't say that date.
It's too late. I already said it. I hope I don't get lit on fire here, but we could just talk Ghost if you want, if you're not prepared to watch Roadhouse.
Want to talk about See No Evil again? May 19th?
Go back in the archives for that one.
Okay.
That's a Baby Oil and Blow at the Movies from back in the day. No, we're talking Roadhouse.
All right, I guess I could.
Everybody's seen Roadhouse. I know you've seen Roadhouse.
Seen
happy birthday
Family Guy.
To Roadhouse, Matt.
People like
it's that. Dirty 30, brother. Made it to Dirty 30.
Some of them.
Oh, yeah, I guess there have been
multiple
cast deaths.
Yeah,
cast members. I didn't think about that.
Both Swayze and Jackie Treehorn.
Not everybody is celebrating the 30th. Yeah, I guess Sam Elliott's still alive.
Yeah.
He was playing the old man. That's sort of thumb of the nose to everybody else who's in that
fucking movie.
Yeah.
To all the pancreatic cancer that was coming down the pipeline for the rest of the cast.
R.I.P. Patrick Swayze.
And Jackie Treehorn.
Jackie Treehorn, I didn't know he was dead, but I guess the last time I've thought about him was when he was playing Jackie Treehorn. So.
Swayze, I believe, went in 2009, seven or nine of pancreatic cancer.
I remember like it and was then, yesterday. He Jackie was so gaunt in Treehorn, his final days.
Jackie in the Beast, AMC's The Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jackie Treehorn also died of pancreatic cancer in 2012.
It's the curse of Roadhouse.
It might have been that river.
Is there like an internet trope you can look up, like the curse of Roadhouse? There's a pattern now?
Probably it's just that river that divided their homes in the movie.
Yeah, it's...
Well, then I guess...
What kind of a body of water was that? It wasn't quite a lake.
It was a river.
I think it was like a reservoir, I feel like. River. I don't think that was a river.
Yeah. Women floated down it from upstream during the fight scene and interrupted the shot.
I read that, but it just looked like a tiny man-made reservoir from when they shot it. If it was a real river, they could have really shot it more majestically. I'm telling you that much.
Reservoir. We're talking Reservoir Dogs. Here on Quentin Tarantino's Action Smash-a-Palooza Black Pod Post Extravaganza. He's got to work black in there somehow. People got to know. Footcast.
Quentin Tarantino, yeah. Footcast.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, Quentin, as an honorary member...
Whoa. Be careful. Quentin's got a big premiere at Cannes going on right now. He's very sensitive. If he hears this and you got beef with him, this could blow up all over the internet.
He had honorary membership into the into the Black Brotherhood.
I mean, he certainly seems to think that he did.
But yeah, and then I think he kind of leaned on it too heavily. I think he had a little bit of a pass, a little bit of a lean into it. He used the N-word in his movies a lot, and people didn't really bat too much of an eye.
A whole lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been batting an eye about it since, like, 1996. Yeah. Does that count?
Seems everybody else kind of gives it a pass.
Nah, maybe the first couple, but...
That's what I'm saying.
Definitely not his last handful of movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it got to a point where he just started being like, no, I have cred, and it's like...
Yeah, that's really more of like a card you're... gonna pull out maybe like three times in your life.
Yeah.
If you got that card.
Yeah.
Once like the fifth time comes around, it's just like, there's no more punch holes left on your card, man. Maybe just give that card back. Just slide that card right across the table again.
It's not looking good.
Personally, I still got two punches left in my card.
Oh, nice. That's good for you.
Yeah. When I was in jail that one time, I convinced a guy to give me a pass. And I was like, cool.
Come on.
I'm gonna be leaning into this.
We're not here to talk about...
I'll let you stuff toilet paper into my flip-flops and use them as a pillow if you give me a pass on the N-word. That's how the transaction went down.
That's a story. We're not here to talk about impending race wars in Hollywood with Quentin Tarantino.
That's what every other podcast is talking about.
We're here to talk about action in Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
Excitement.
In Hollywood and in your ears.
And also in Missouri.
Because it's a podcast.
Where this movie happens to be set.
It's Babiwile in Bleu. It's a French podcast.
That was your French.
Babiwile in Bleu.
It was close.
Yeah. You think I don't speak the language?
Now I know come that on, you man. Do.
I've been telling you all
if you
that
had asked
years.
Me 5 minutes ago, I'd have said probably not. But I'm like, that was definitely... You're close on Bleu, like...
Yeah.
That was almost.
I just said a whole string of French words there, and you didn't even catch any of it. It's Baby Oil and Blow.
Un baby.
With me... No, I'll say who I am first. I'm Matt O. There we go. That's how I do this.
Mm-hmm.
With me, as
that's
always...
You. Checks out.
He is the beautiful little cat that accidentally gets a stripe painted on him to my Pepe Le Pew. He is Nate Adams.
Does that mean you're going to try to fuck me this whole show? Ahoy, ahoy. This is going to be a new dynamic than what we've usually got on here.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Well, it's official. We are talking Roadhouse, as you can tell from us beating around the bush. And Matt already pulling out all the hot quotes from this fucking thing right there. Yeah. So let's get into this rundown. Rundown this week is brought to us by Pluto TV. It's the latest streaming service that I'm completely hooked on. Because since the last time I checked out, that little service, they've added a 24/7 Dog the Bounty Hunter channel.
Wow.
I spent the last week, just anytime I got like a workout to do, anything where I'm like got passive time going on, there's Dog the fucking Bounty Hunter going on in the background. You're damn sure. I'm totally soaked into it again. I'm loving just the casual sexuality shared between Dog and Beth.
Yeah.
How she'll just drop the words Big Daddy into any conversation, no matter where they are, who they're talking to. Just rubbing on each other all the time. That Leland, he's a handsome man, Matt.
Hey, speaking of working out, run a business idea past you real quick.
Oh, is it gym for chubby girls?
No,
somebody
even
already
better.
Came up with that.
A guy I work with, he's way into the CrossFit. He wants to open some gyms, and I'm trying to convince him.
Oh, cool. All you need is like a couple hammers, a couple tires, and a length of rope. And
better yet, though,
maybe like an alleyway back somewhere to set it up.
New business model. Gym Bros, Bros Gym.
Oh,
I'm trying to convince him to change his name to Jim Bro.
So we're creating like a Wendy's type character called Jim Bro, who's going to be our mascot.
Jim Bros, Bros Gym, and it's a gym for bros. No fatties. Like, you know how like Planet Fitness is like, oh, no lunks here. Like,
sure.
Yeah, no, if you ain't grunting, get the
fuck out. I was just going to say no quiet lifts.
Yeah, I want you.
Like, if you don't full on drop the weights on the ground and if you don't grunt when you're lifting, like, get the fuck out.
You need to
There's
show
gonna be
up sweaty.
Noise meters like they do like in hockey games and shit where if like you're not hitting a certain level on that noise meter, like, your workout's canceled. Get the fuck out of here.
And we don't want you going there to get into shape because that just means you're already a fucking quitter because you're quitting on being fat.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like, we don't got time for that.
No.
This is for people in shape, maintaining being in shape.
Okay.
Okay?
So we're not going to have any great big fat guys for comedic relief
no.
in there? Can you be like the guy that works at like the register or something? Just so everybody could pick on him?
No, bro. You got to be wicked ripped, bro.
Like, hey, get over here, fat ass. Try to lift this. Look, he's going to try to lift it. Yeah. And then, like, the guy tries to do a deadlift, and he farts when he's trying to pull it up. And then all the bros are just cracking up.
So this is a legitimate business, not an 80s comedy.
Somebody crack a window.
80s sex romp.
I want everything to be an 80s sex romp.
You can find plenty of those on Pluto TV. I'm sure they have a channel.
Definitely. They got a comedies channel, I bet. You got a 24/7 program. You're gonna have to run all sorts of cheap ass programming on there. 80s sex romps. You can buy them by like the dozen.
If you can't find Porky's 3 on there right now, you're not fucking looking.
Send an email to Paramount. They will give you the rights to 14 sex comedies from the 80s for like $12.99 right now.
Yeah,
you can do whatever you want with them.
A lot of them are sequels to movies you never heard of in the first place,
or didn't exist. They're just trying to convince you that there was a sequel, so you'll think there was a franchise.
All right. Roadhouse.
Roadhouse from 1989. There was no sequel to this. The one, the only.
Tell that to 2005.
Yeah. There was a Roadhouse too?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Was that Swayze the one with Ronda
Rousey?
Swayze was going to do it and was like, that's not a very good movie. Take my name off. No, it's got the lead singer from the Oneaters.
Oh, I remember them talking about maybe doing a Roadhouse with Ronda Rousey at one point. I don't remember when that was.
Oh, yeah. It was a couple years ago.
I think it was back before they figured out, like, oh, she's really awkward on camera. I guess we shouldn't make her an actress. Yeah. Budget of Roadhouse from 1989, estimated, Matt, at $17 million.
You know, $7 million of that was Swayze's salary.
Pulled in a cool $30 million. Oh, so I'm saying it made a bit of money in the theater. And then you got to factor in all that fucking TBS money for it playing on TBS over the course of 20 years.
Yeah.
That's got to be pushing it at least into the red there. We're making some money on Roadhouse.
Are you talking rentals and DVD sales years later?
Absolutely. Yeah. Director Rowdy Harrington. This is the guy who...
Ronda Rowdy Harrington.
Didn't do a whole lot of stuff, but around the same time, he did a very underrated boxing movie I like called Gladiator. It's got the Cuba Gooding Jr.
I already
in it.
Told you I hate that movie with Russell Crowe.
Not that same Gladiator. That one ripped off this Gladiator. Also, he did the terrible boat cop movie old Bruce Willis was in. Striking Distance.
Striking
you remember
Distance.
That one?
Yeah, that's a bad
Him
one.
Him in Sex and the City out on a boat, I think. God. Is Sex and the City in that one? I think so.
I think so.
I had a real bone for her back in the 90s before she like started getting older and her face aged.
Really?
Yeah.
You found Sarah Jessica Parker attractive?
Fucking Leaving Las Vegas era sex. Sarah Jessica Parker, sexy as fuck. She's rolling
that's
around.
Elizabeth Shue.
No, fucking, I mean, Honeymoon in Vegas
Honeymoon
is what I meant.
Vegas.
Nick Cage jumping
Nick Cage,
out of planes. Yeah. That's what I meant. Rolling around in slinky little dresses. James Caan's trying to get in her panties. It's real gross. Ooh, yeah. That's good. That's doing it for me right there. Man. Not striking distance, though.
She's
what's wearing the one, windbreakers what's that the whole one where week because they were out on a fucking boat.
What's the one where she's a witch? Hocus Pocus.
That is.
She's hot in that one.
Yeah, definitely. She's that's got the pushed only, up in that one.
And I recently saw that movie for the first time.
Also, a varied young tweenage Sarah Jessica Parker and Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah. That's a different podcast.
We're not talking about Sarah Jessica Parker, though, because she's not in Roadhouse. Who is in Roadhouse? The man of the hour. The late, great Patrick Swayze. You know him, you love him. We've already named a bunch of his movies. This is kind of like a high for him. He's coming hot off like things like Red Dawn and Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
He's about to go into like Ghost, where he goes from being like this heartthrob action star to like getting some critical acclaim. And then he does that Fatherhood movie or whatever around like 93 and was all downhill. But right here in Roadhouse, he's at the top of his powers. Sam Elliott, he's playing Wade Garrett, the father figure to Dalton, Patrick Swayze's hero. The grizzled old cooler, they call it. The best cooler in the world.
Yeah.
Sam Elliott, everybody kind of knew him as being a guy in a bunch of old Western TV shows and cowboy movies and whatnot. I think it's interesting that he wasn't yet, like, a household name.
No.
Like he would become after Mm-mm. this. Like, everybody knew him as the guy with the voice and the mustache.
Yeah.
So, like, did this create Sam Elliott as people know Sam Elliott? Or was it Tombstone a couple years later? I think there's a little debate there. I'm
he
not sure.
He claims this was his most famous role.
Yeah, okay. I think this probably did it for him. Like, everybody sort of knew him as a character actor, but then it was just like, oh, that guy from Roadhouse. And then he grew a mustache, and it was all she wrote.
Nathan.
Late career resurgence for Nathan, Mr. Sam Elliott.
I don't care for the Tombstone.
That's a stupid opinion. Everybody loves fucking Tombstone. That's one of the most entertaining movies ever made.
I'm aware.
Kelly Lynch is playing the love interest, Doc. She was the chick from Cocktail. She was the chick from Drugstore Cowboy. She was the chick from a handful of things in the late 80s, early 90s.
She was the chick from...
Kind of bubbled
Woof.
Up and then faded away pretty fast.
Woof.
Pretty face for like a couple years and then people got sick of her or something.
I got sick of her after 5 minutes of this movie.
She just married a rich guy and then like didn't really have to act that much anymore or something. Fucking married a producer. It was just like, now I'll just be the Housewives of Beverly Hills or... She was probably on one of those shows.
Smart of her because she wasn't very attractive.
Oh, wow. These shots are fired. How dare you? Kelly Lynch. Everybody loved her in 1989. Ben Gazzara rounds out our principals.
Jackie Treehorn.
He's Jackie Treehorn in The Big Lebowski. He's character actor for a long time. Ton of Cassavetes movies back in the 70s. Dude from Killing of a Chinese Bookie and whatnot. Great fucking actor. Doing... Not slumming it, like committed and doing some great work here as Mr. Wesley, the evil rich man from across the river. I gotta say, Ben Gazzara might be my MVP of Roadhouse.
Wow.
Tagline of this movie, Dalton's the best bouncer in the business. His nights are filled with fast action, hot music, and beautiful women. It's a dirty job, but somebody's gotta do it. Makes Dalton sound like much more of a party animal than he is. He's kind of a stick in the mud, really.
Yeah.
I could see what's up, though. They're trying to sell the movie.
Yeah.
This plot synopsis.
Uh-huh.
Is coming from an IMDb user, R. Houston. I thought he did a good job.
Oh, Ricky Houston?
There was a lot of shitty ones out there. I thought he did a good job. Pretty succinctly, he says it. When it becomes too violent at the Double Deuce Roadhouse, the club owner hires Dalton, a professional cooler, quote-unquote, to clean it up. But Dalton's early successes and budding romance with a local doctor enrages Wesley, the town crime boss. When Dalton continues to defy him, the stage is set for a dramatic confrontation that will test Dalton's limits and decide the fate of the town. That fucking says it, brother, right there.
I don't know if he's really a crime boss.
I mean, he's doing a lot of crime. He's shaking people down. He's skimming off the top.
He's just... paying thugs to shake down business owners.
Who's got thugs that isn't a crime boss? Name me one person with thugs that isn't a crime boss.
He's just bullying people. They're just being stupid enough to fall for
pretty
it.
Pretty fucking cool.
Like, he's not really, like, running drugs or nothing. He's just like...
He's running booze.
He's just like, hey nerd, hey queer,
yeah,
give me $20. All right, get out of here.
He's got it all legit, according to Red, the owner of Red's whatever shop. Yeah. He's got some sort of town fucking thing going on that all the different business owners have to buy into or not get their business licenses, and he's skimming off the top, and they're all afraid of him because he's got fucking hired goons, Matt. Hired goons.
Who is it?
Goons.
Who?
Hired goons.
Hired goons?
Let's get into bullet points.
Let's go
through our notes. I've got, I think, 7 solid bullet points I want to get through talking about this movie. I've got them all bullet pointed, actually. Just if you look, it's not just a pun name. It's a real thing going
I've got
on in my notes.
A very important bullet point.
Okay.
And that is,
we got to start it off.
Don't come right at me with the credits, being like, and music by Jeff Healey Blues Band.
Sure.
And then show me fucking Tito from Tito and Tarantula, the bar band from the Titty Twister.
Yeah, and the vampire movie.
Yeah. Don't
Speaking
give me
of Tarantino.
Yeah, don't give me
Dusk
those guys.
Dawn.
And then be like, no, just kidding. It's some fucking blind white guy from Canada.
Okay, so you're poo-pooing Jeff Healey Band.
I'm just saying, if I had the option over Tito and the Tarantula.
Sure. I think this is Tito's previous band, though. These are not the Tarantulas.
This is Cruzados or something?
That's fucking gay. Yeah, I can see why they didn't go with that. Yeah. Wait till he gets the Tarantulas back in him. And then I'll tell you what, right now, I have a very distinct memory post-Roadhouse as it hit VHS and swept the nation. My stepdad went out and bought that Jeff Healey Band CD, brother.
Oh, I bet.
He was spinning that Jeff Healey Band CD fucking for months after this shit came out.
Probably.
Hell yeah.
He's probably.
Solid blind white guy blues.
Getting down with a little George Thorogood, a little Webb Wilder at the time.
Only through covers. Throw this in the mix. Only through covers of the Jeff Healey.
No, I'm saying your dad. I'm sure he was listening to those things in the first place.
No, not really. It went from basically Jimmy Buffett to Jeff Healey Band. And then a weird Taylor Gayne phase after that for
Is
a while.
Your dad or
no, I said stepdad.
Oh,
I'm not
I didn't
talking
hear.
About my real dad.
Oh, I could see. Yeah. No, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Your stepdad's Taylor Gayne phase.
So I grew up.
Kind of like my dad's LaBouche phase.
I grew up in a Jeff Healey Band house.
In a confusing house. Confusing musical house.
There's nothing confusing about LaBouche. That's music for the people. That's music for the people.
My lover. You got a first real point for anything here?
I just want to jump in and talk
get a
about
feel for
the fucking bar fights in this movie. They're fucking crazy. This is all about bar fights,
it's
breaking up bar
the
fights. The Double Deuce is the big bar that he's got to go in and make safe because there's too much. But this place is comically out of control, Matt.
Yeah, but First,
25 seconds, there's fucking a bar fight breaking out in this thing.
Little background. Before he gets there, he's working, what was the name of the other club?
It doesn't matter. It's not the Double Deuce.
Another guy comes in and he's like, and he looks like he's going to be the bad guy in the movie, but he's not.
Oh, he's got a real fucking punchable face.
He's
How does this
like,
guy roll in not as the bad guy in the movie? I'm a snide white man in a suit in
I want
some
you
sort
to,
of seedy bar.
I want you to come work for me and like Swayze like, kind of like begrudgingly, he's like, yeah, all right, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And real quick, when he's like, oh, I'm not going to fly out there. Believe me, bro, I'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
He drives his hoopty to a car garage, gives the hoopty to an old black man.
Yeah.
Because he's like, take this. I've got a nice car. And then you're like, oh, man, what's he got under that cover? It's going to be like a badass like sports car, like muscle car. And he's like, nope, it's my fucking yuppie Mercedes. I'm from New York.
Won't you buy me Mercedes?
The fuck,
Benz.
Man! He's driving a fucking Benz compressor.
Dalton is a man who contains multitudes. You can't pin him down. There's a lot going on here.
It wasn't a good first impression with me. So he gets to the Double Deuce. Shit's all out there, right?
So kickboxer / actor / stuntman Benny Urquidez, maybe you pronounce it? I don't know. He
Benny
came in.
Jet.
He taught all these fucking dudes how to fight. He put them all through their paces, created all these fucking... Apparently, most of the actors pretty much just did all their own stunts. They're just working through it on set. And it's fucking crazy. There's glass broken everywhere, chairs broken everywhere, punches being thrown, women being punched,
propositions of titty kisses.
Propositions of titty kisses, fucking knives being slashed everywhere. If you're going to remember Roadhouse finally, you're thinking about this movie like, should I watch it? Is it good? Is it not? You're thinking back to these fucking bar fights, and they're fucking awesome.
Titty kiss, would you have put down the $20?
No, I just feel like that was a pretty good con that guy pulled where he was just touching him, and they're like, all right, you going to kiss him or not? And he's like, no, I don't have $20.
And then he was honest about it.
Instant bar brawl, 25 people involved. How come we never meet any weird old men who are trying to get us to touch his wife's titties in the bar? Is it because all the young people keep coming into our dive bar and playing young people music and driving all the weird old people out? Because fuck you, 22-year-olds. Nobody invited you.
Enough with the mumble rap.
I feel the same way. There wasn't one single fucking mumble rap cover on that entire Jeff Healey Band repertoire. No. And just watching this, it felt good, man.
It was
felt
the
real
same
good to me.
Rock and roll music when it was just a scummy dive bar with fights.
Yeah, it's
and
weird.
It was the same rock and roll music when they turned it all around.
They try to like clean up the place a bit. They take down the chicken wire in front of the stage. They put up some like neon lights, and it's just like, you've made this place kind of look like a nightclub, but you're just still playing like dirty Roadhouse music in it. What's your vision for this Double Deuce,
that brings
white
me
guy?
What's
the brand of this fucking bar?
That brings me
what's the concept
to
here?
One of my bullets, and I'm pretty sure this movie is where Taffer got the idea for Bar Rescue.
For Bar Rescue.
We just saw a horse crap on the floor in a bar. I'm going in. I gotta go to work, man. I'll see you inside later.
Good luck, John.
Look at that!
He's fucking...
I'm the cooler!
Whatever.
I'm the fucking cooler!
Badass New York nightclub he was running at the time in like 1989. Just looking at this Double Deuce and it's just like... This fucking bar. I could make some money with this setup and they don't know what they're doing.
He set up the bar next to the mall by us.
Shut it down.
Taffer opened that
bar. Taffer opened a bar near us?
Yeah.
What was it?
The bar that was across the street from the mall that got closed a million times. It's on Mississippi.
Sheffield's?
No. There was like a
Sheffield's
club.
Has been there forever.
No, it's closed now. I mean, it's been like a million different bars.
Are you talking about what used to be Teen Nightclub Zero Gravity back in the 90s?
It had a young club next to it, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Taffer original, bro.
I feel like you're full of shit. I would have known if John Taffer was a local.
Telling you the truth.
Tearing shit apart. Yeah. Putting it back together.
Oh, this was like before he started doing all that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying it was on Bar Rescue.
No.
I was like, dude, I fucking know Bar Rescue. Don't try to pull the rug out from under
me. No, he like started the bar.
Okay, so yeah, there's a lot of coke going through that place. It's kind of Double Deuce-esque, but in like a douchey dance club way. I could see Taffer watching Roadhouse and be like, nah, we need to get DJs and cocaine in there. Mm-hmm. All this whiskey and hillbillies isn't how you make money.
No, Swayze disagreed.
Talking about Taffer and what he does on Bar Rescue, turning bars around, making them profitable, retraining employees, brings me into my next big bullet point, which is, what the fuck is this job that Patrick Swayze's been hired to do, Matt?
He's the cooler.
This job does not exist.
Cooler?
He tells them specifically when he gets his crew together, you were bouncers, I'm the cooler.
Yeah.
Cooler is not a word. Nobody's ever said the word cooler other than in this fucking movie.
Where do they keep the beers, Nate? Where do they keep the beers?
Posits a universe in which not only there are bouncers, there are super bouncers called coolers.
Yeah.
These coolers are so rich, they can buy multiple cars, which they just buy new windshields and tires for every day as their windshields get broken and their tires get slashed by... you know, pissed off customers they've kicked out. And not only are they rich, not only are they super bouncers, they're fucking nationwide famous for being bouncers. This is like a John Wick situation.
Yeah.
Whenever anybody says the word Dalton, they're just like, oh, fuck Dalton? That's Dalton? Yeah. The Dalton everybody knows for being a bouncer? This is batshit insane, man.
That's Dalton's car?
There is no fucking famous bouncer in the world ever. This is like as nuts as fucking over the top where they posit a world where arm wrestling is the most famous sport on the planet.
How about the fact that Not only is there a famous bouncer in All of the World, there's two famous bouncers.
Wade is who taught him all his tricks, all the bouncing tricks. Also very famous.
Because when Sam Elliott shows up to the bar finally.
Holy shit, we've got both of the most famous coolers in the world here in one bar.
Somebody says, "Who's that guy?" To which the other guy goes, "I know who that is."
To go along with the fact that these bouncers are getting, these coolers are getting paid enough to be rich, rich men, they also have staffs that at times clearly outnumber the number of patrons drinking in these bars.
Yeah.
What's the economics on that? They got like 12 security guys in here at all time, maybe two dozen customers. Every single night, every stick of furniture in this place gets destroyed.
It's a small...
So every single day, they're buying all new tables and chairs, Matt.
It's a small bar.
What are the economics on this?
It's a small bar.
It's not the biggest bar.
They're only carrying 1 to 2 bartenders.
I've never seen more than 2 security guys anywhere that isn't a big-ass nightclub.
Yeah.
This place, no joke, has 8. At least 8.
Yeah, they always had like 2 bartenders going... 3 to 4 cocktail waitresses.
This fucking white guy rolling around in his suits, hiring people all over the fucking nation, offering them plane tickets.
Yeah.
What do his finances look like? This has got to be insane. This guy's like Trump rich.
Well, he did say...
He's lost hundreds of millions.
He does explain...
He's rolling
explain,
around pretending like he's rich.
He does explain to Dalton...
He recently came into some
that's
money.
That's right.
So,
and he would like to set himself up.
So he was clearly on his ass running this double deuce until fucking grandma croaked or something. And now he's just going to keep pouring old grandma's inheritance into this money pit? I don't like this idea. Sell the double deuce. Get out of bumfuck Missouri. None of this is a good plan. You don't need Dalton. You need to raise that. Sell the property.
I've been to Missouri a few times. Missouri sucks.
Oh, I'm sorry. that's the saddest story I've heard in a while.
Yeah. Nobody should be there if they don't have to be here. Bullet point, one of these things.
Let's address
that,
this one.
It's something we're equal opportunity pervs here. And
next one is all the sleaze in this movie. So we can talk about all the sleaze in this movie?
Well, I wanted to talk one specifically that they had the balls to do, and they don't all, and they should. Dalton finds himself a little place to stay. He's there.
Tricked out loft above a barn. It's
passes
pretty sweet
out.
Setup.
His nice little
nice
setup.
Nice view of the river.
And
a rich guy's house across the way.
Inexplicably, some bar waitress finds him.
One of the waitresses hunts him down. Yeah. Comes to his house to bring him some breakfast.
And he begrudgingly wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we get as the audience? A little treat.
Well,
what do we get?
He rolls out of bed. Sleeps au naturel, as it turns out. This woman gets a little bit red in the cheeks because we get a sweet, gratuitous buns shot.
Buns.
As Dalton walks across the bedroom to get some fucking jeans off the fucking nightstand or whatever. Slips himself into those sans drawers. Are you having some sort of old man freak out right now? You're up and you're hobbling around. I'm trying to talk about Dalton's tight buns right now. Suddenly you're up and you're limping. What's going on, Matt?
I got that Sam Elliott trick knee.
Aw, jeez. Once Ben Gazzara sends his goons after us, this isn't going to be good for us.
You talking. I'll work through this.
So any 80s action movie worth its salt is going to have the star. I don't care who he is. He's going to show his buns. He's going to get up. He's going to walk across the room. You're going to see him. Because I've said it once, I've said it a million times before, chicks love buns. Oh yeah, get up in that door jam, man. Get your fingers up there and get upside down. This is, you're going to train your body to work again. It's hard work sitting in a chair and talking into a microphone.
Oh God.
So the buns, we got some good old fashioned
at some point,
buns that we're always clamoring
Hollywood
for.
Hollywood decided that women don't love buns, and I don't understand it.
Erroneous.
They stop putting any buns in any movies, and what the fuck's up with that?
Colt! Where are you going?
Nowhere. I'm just taking one of those unmotivated button-the-moonbeam walks.
I'm always trying to flash my buns.
Mel Gibson, he was good for it.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, I've been alone in this house for a couple weeks.
Yeah?
Haven't seen or heard from anybody. I should have expected it because a check came in the mail today. So I had a check for the old lady who lurks here every once in a while on that chair over there.
Yeah.
So about like a half an hour before you came over, I was done lifting those weights and I was getting my shit together and getting ready to jump in the shower. So I'm just walking around naked with music blasting. I turn a corner and I run directly into her after not seeing anybody for a couple weeks. Wasn't expecting it. I jumped about 3 feet in the air like a fucking cat and probably made an insane noise. I was so goddamn startled by it.
With your wang-dang doodle
just
hanging
out. Just my wang-dang doodle flopping everywhere. Just like, oh, Jesus Christ! It was not like a sexy strolling across the room showing off your buns moment for me whatsoever.
It was like one of those Mel Gibson gratuitous walking around nude scenes mixed with some Mr. Furley.
Yeah. I had some,
Don Knotts.
If Don Knotts ever did a nude scene, it would have been what I was pulling 45 minutes ago.
Oh, brother.
It's part of the sleaze in this movie, though, and the sleaze is one of the big attractions. My first one, all the crazy bar fights and how wild they get. Second one, all this shit. That fucking, you talk about those opening credits?
Yeah.
What do we get during our title card? The camera slinking up a lady's legs and zooming in on her ass as she's walking into that first fucking bar. Fucking first time we meet Sam Elliott's badass character. What's happening? He's working in a titty bar.
Hell yeah.
Rock hard titties not shaking around behind him because they're all those like real bad 80s implants that are just like too much and just too round and too hard. And
yeah, we're officially...
just got no business, like no ability to move around whatsoever.
We're officially over the hump where like you lose like the 70s natural floppy
70s pokies. Mid 80s, like, you're expecting real boobs, you're expecting tan lines, you want them flopping around, you're getting like torpedo tits.
And we're officially
I'm loving it
into the
now we're
hard
getting into that
titties.
Early 90s just hard titty aesthetic that I am not a fan
and
of.
There's titties everywhere.
You want to talk smack about our leading lady Kelly Lynch. We see her titties.
They're
again,
10 inches apart,
once
Nate.
Again, just a real, real unappealing boob job. I'm sorry. I know it's not a popular stance, but I hate fake tits, man. Just hate them. If you're gonna do a strip club scene where fucking Sam Elliott's talking on the phone while people are fighting behind him and there's tits around, fine, I'll take some hard-ass fake titties. You're in a strip club. The leading lady, though, she's sporting a pair. No, you can't be a mainstream leading lady actress in Hollywood. Get those out of here.
I'm going to pull over.
Get those out of here.
I'm
going
to pull over on the side of the road here right now, and I want to get to one of my bullet points, just piggybacking off of what you're going on, is everything that is Kelly Lynch. She shows up as the doctor sewing up Dalton. She's got her hair pulled back. Mm-hmm. She's got some dorky glasses on. It's like...
That's
usually
a look that really does it for me.
Yeah, doing a little sexy librarian thing. Like, let's see what happens here.
I wasn't minding it.
Then she shows up later to date Dalton, and she's got like the
fucking rocking that tablecloth dress.
White snake video look to her.
That thing was Kelly Bundy tight. That little fucking dress she was wearing. It just looked like a cloth you'd put on a picnic table.
But like, so the little lady in my place steps out. She missed the whole topless scene. Of Kelly Lynch. And she's like, well, how'd the titties look? And I was like, about 10 inches apart. And she's like,
bueno.
I was like, that's what the dress suggested. And I was like, the dress was absolutely right.
I was looking at those hips and ass in that dress. They were hugging them in all the right places.
Well, now you're getting me to my point here. So before the top comes down, she's making this fucking Stanley Spadowski and UHF face while... fucking Swayze's kissing on her chest, and she's just like,
yeah,
it was terrifying to look at.
Fucking Swayze's putting her up against the wall. He hasn't even got his pants off yet. Man's an animal.
She's not an attractive woman. The faces she's making, her hair looked dumb.
She's got some leftover like it's like proto big hair going on. It's not like it would get like a couple years later in the early 90s. It's just starting to get big,
right?
So I don't know. It's like we talked about back when we were a wrestling podcast about how Sable had the big like Texas housewife hair a couple years too late and it looked weird.
Yeah.
Here it's a couple years too early and it looks weird. It's just timing is everything if you're going to rock some like hairspray in your bangs, man.
Kelly Lynch's face only looked okay at certain points in the movie. If her mouth was closed and her eyes were open to the right point, and I don't know. She's got a
quote
a lot of
Sam
weird
Elliott's
stuff.
Wade Garrett, That gal's got entirely too many brains to have an ass like that.
And that's my next point.
That's a cool
Her
fucking
ass
line.
Sucked.
It's not a great ass. It's
Her ass sucked.
It's kind of just like typical standard supermodel body frame type ass.
It's just a shitty white
like,
girl ass.
Yeah, it's a pretty standard white girl ass. Back in the 90s, like... if you were in shape, you were like a hot chick. This is how it went.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you were in shape and wore something tight, because everybody else was in baggy-ass shit, you had no idea what anybody's body looked like. Growing up in the 90s, as we did, like,
right.
fucking, you got no clue what
no.
any woman you went to, like, school's body looked like
right.
whatsoever. And then, like, once they just started, like, showing off shit in the early 2000s, like those low-cut fucking pants
yeah.
their asses were hanging out with and shit, you just, like, realize just, like 75% more girls have great big asses than I ever knew. Either that or there's, like, hormones in the food now that have, like, made asses get insanely bigger than
right.
they were in the 90s. Because back you watch shit from the 90s, you don't see asses like there are asses rolling around today.
No.
It's a whole different story.
Made it cool and the
whole
girls
different
want
world.
Them now. And as a long time...
Were they just wishing themselves into gigantic asses? How's this happening?
They just don't...
I haven't seen a teenage girl who didn't have a big-ass dumper right. in, like, years.
I don't know what the correlation
years.
Is. But either way, as a pro-ass man,
uh-huh.
long-time ass
uh-huh.
man...
I'm an ass man! Yeah, I'm an ass man!
From someone that comes from a long line of ass men.
Sure.
I'm giving this one high 3, low 4.
I gotta tell you. I'm trying to play
out of 10.
Devil's advocate here. I'm also not a Kelly Lynch fan at all.
Yeah.
This is not a good hot
no.
chick for this movie.
Yeah.
She's the hottest chick in the movie, probably.
Yeah.
But that's not saying anything. Roadhouse, you gotta step up your game. You're like a honky-tonk fucking... crazy bar fucking movie. Get some fucking hot ass in this movie.
She's walking naked away from the camera towards Dalton, so we see her back. And her ass is so non-existent. I'm starting to think, like, there's a thing online where you look at a naked woman and you can,
mm-hmm.
it's full frontal, but you can
yeah.
still see the ass cheeks coming
mm-hmm.
from the little
yeah.
gap there.
That shit just exists all over the place
right.
now. How am I seeing ass when I'm looking at you from the front?
This,
we're living in a glorious age of ass.
This right here, I thought was going to be the opposite. I thought I was going to see meat curtains.
Oh.
On account of the absence of
oh, yeah.
ass.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got a tiny ass girl around this house, allegedly. There might be some of that going on.
Yeah.
Catch might be a little bit of that going on
every once
in a while.
Catch a look from behind, yeah.
Catch
a look
from
behind.
Oh, no, I'm saying,
oh, yeah.
I'm saying there's some of that going
yeah,
on
okay.
around here.
Yeah, all right. I'm picking up what you're putting down now that you've just told me. I'm good that way. Yeah, so everybody else, though, pleasant time watching them be naked.
I got to specifically shout out Julie Michaels, the girl who played Ben Gazzara's main squeeze.
Oh, Denise,
main lady henchman. Only real tits in the movie we see. They looked great. There's a weird scene where...
They were huge.
Ben Gazzara sort of intimidates everybody in the Double Deuce by rolling in there with all of his fucking goons and then making her do a striptease, do a
yeah.
Jeff Healey Band's like thing. And then it's just like sort of throwing down the gamut like, what are you going to do, Dalton? You're not supposed to allow nudity in your bar. You going to shut her down? If you do, we're in a war.
It's your rule, homo.
And her boobies look nice. She's got some great moves. I found a nice little awesome piece of trivia from a Q&A done for, it's not a 30th, it wasn't done recently, maybe like 10 years ago or something, a little Q&A, there's a little bit of cast reunion going on. Julie Michaels, who the lovely young lady in the scene, told the audience that the night before she filmed this big striptease, her ex-fiance held a gun to her head and then committed suicide. So, less than 24 hours before she filmed this
what?
Weird fucking striptease, just sleazy throwing some tits in the movie thing, she had a fucking gun to her head and then watched a man blow his fucking head off, a man she was engaged to. And I gotta say, she didn't have any tears in her eyes the whole time this whole thing was going down. So, real pro. This chick deserves something. She deserves some sort of award or something for this fucking performance right here.
Are you trying to say that he blew his head off the same way Kurt Cobain blew his head off?
Oh, no, because he did it himself. He didn't have his wife do it and then cover it up and make it look like a suicide.
Oh, okay.
It's a different thing.
All right.
Also, my last bit of sleaze, for no reason, after the movie's over, after the big action climax and everything's been resolved, it just ends with a skinny dipping scene for no reason.
Yeah.
Kelly Lynch and Patrick Swayze are just fucking skinny dipping.
Want to talk about the...
And then the movie's over.
The final scene real quick?
I want to wait till we get to the end.
Okay.
Do the end at the end.
Okay.
I got another...
More, I didn't know you got more to talk
a about. A more, like, broad one, which is just the
We
fact,
already talked about the broads.
That's... okay, so a quick one. Also, the romance with Kelly Lynch, totally tacked on and lame.
Yeah.
It just slows down the movie. No use for it. She doesn't show up till, like, 40 minutes in. She really has no fucking impact on the plot whatsoever.
Correct.
Could have excised her completely. But one of the big things I want to get before we get into how this thing wraps up and everything goes in there, just the fact that Dalton, the character, fucking sucks. He's a shitty guy.
Yeah.
He's not likable.
No.
He's not very good at being a cooler for everybody talking about how he's the best cooler in the world.
Yeah.
Bad role for Patrick Swayze, I think.
Yeah.
Like, the first time old white guy rolls up to his bar to see him, to hire him to come into the Double Deuce, him and his highly trained team of boys are trying to break up just like a little domestic altercation.
Yeah.
Fucking Dalton gets slashed with the knife.
Correct.
There's like four dudes on one. This is what he does for a living. He gets slashed horrendously.
Yeah.
The second or like third time maybe we see him break up another fight at the Double Deuce, slashed with the knife again. That's why he's got to go meet the doctor at the hospital.
Yeah.
Once again, if you're getting stabbed every other night as a fucking bouncer in a bar, you're not very good at being a bouncer.
No.
Also, that chick who brought him the breakfast, nice chick, trying to chat him up.
He should have
fucked
her.
Not a sleazebag, not selling drugs like the one girl he fired, not just being a fucking, you know, hothead like Terry Funk, who he had to throw out of there because he was playing a real fucking sleazeball.
Terry, what do you think about the new Roadhouse remake starring Ronda Rousey that's being rumored?
You got to be fucking kidding me. Ronda Rousey and the Roadhouse.
Yeah, she's starring in the remakes that, you know, obviously the original that you were in, that you starred in.
In the Roadhouse?
In the Roadhouse, yeah. They're making a remake.
They're making a remake, and I'm not in it, and she is.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean it like that.
Well, yeah, you did. Is going to go ahead and be in the goddamn thing, and that's bullshit. She don't belong in there. I'd like to go ahead and get her in the goddamn ring. It wouldn't take me 10 rounds to kick her ass.
Terry nice Funk chick, cool. Trying to get on his good side, trying to be a model employee. He's a total fucking dick to her.
Yeah, he looks Anybody, at the food that she brought, and he's just like, ugh.
She did bring him fucking donuts. He's just like, look at how fucking shredded I am, you dumb bitch.
Yeah.
You think I'm eating sugar and carbs every morning? Get this fucking shit out of my barn loft.
Yeah.
Won't give anybody who asks him an honest question a straight answer.
Yeah.
Just leaning against a wall, just trying to be like cool and brooding like a fucking teenaged loser.
Right.
Like, just fucking, let's talk of like Point Break for a second.
I was just going to bring that up.
The whole point of this movie is that he's such a cool, fucking awesome guy that like Keanu falls in love with him and doesn't want to throw him in jail. This is what Dalton should be. He should be a cool guy that everybody falls in love with. And he keeps telling us that he is, but he's just a fucking cocksucker.
Yeah.
Sucks at his job, sucks as a dude.
He's a fucking chicken dick.
When he's doing fucking topless Tai Chi in his front yard and Ben Gazzara's just scowling at him from across the river, I'm like, I'm on Ben Gazzara's side. I'm like, fucking Tai Chi, this guy's got his head
up
his own ass. Like, Tai Chi's not a thing.
Mm-mm.
I don't care how much the fucking 80s tried to teach us that it was. It's for fucking assholes. We're trying to pretend like they're fucking spiritual weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've got a secret Mercedes that I keep hidden in an NYU philosophy degree. What? There's nothing to like about this fucking asshole.
He's a fucking yuppie.
And fucking Swayze kills it in this role. The dude's fucking shredded as hell. He's doing all sorts of like rope climbing and like stump punching exercises. He looks great doing it. He's a totally physical actor, whether he's fucking dancing and Dirty Dancing or kicking ass here. He's going to throw himself into it physically 100%. He's showing off his fucking abs. He's showing off his buns. He's putting it all on display. He deserved a better role to play.
He's the equivalent of like one of these modern white hipsters that gets a decent college education and grew up better than you and I did. But then they like take up some
decent college education.
Well, yeah, you do. but then they like go ahead and like take up some weird like profession that's not a thing anymore, mm-hmm. or in some questionable area.
I fix typewriters.
They've got some weird thing to prove. Sure, and it's like, whoa, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, go get a job.
I moved in next to where there was just a murder, and I restore old typewriters.
Yeah, like, that's great. You're an idiot. Mm-hmm. And like, this...
Especially if you're trying to live out in a fucking barn in Missouri.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to appreciate that fucking vibe. Go fucking work in a hipster dive and fucking Red Hook or whatever. I don't think that was coming up quite yet in 89, but you get my point.
He's one of those people you meet and they're like, you like try to reference a TV show. You'd be like, oh, what do you watch? And they're like, I don't own a TV.
Oh, there are no TV hookups in my barn loft.
I don't actually own a TV.
You have to climb a rope like in gym class to get up into where I live.
Since I turned like 18 and started meeting these people, never trust a person who says I don't own a TV.
Sure.
Never trust them.
I own the biggest fucking TV I can afford.
Correct.
You know why?
As do I.
Because I'm a real human being.
Yeah.
So yeah, fucking Dalton sucks. The romance is lame. Now I think we can get into the escalating violence, which leads into the big climax.
Yeah. They start blowing up every building in the town.
Ben Gazzara is not only burning down buildings and blowing them up, he fucking brings in a fucking monster truck.
That
just
was
to smash up the used car lot.
That was legendary monster truck Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. Yeah, yeah, I was about to say, I think it was Bigfoot. I think Bigfoot painted, the monster truck.
Painted all blue.
To intimidate the local used car salesman, he brings in Bigfoot to crush all of his fucking cars with the most gratuitous, needless scene. But I was loving it because it came in right after one of those, like, I think we're falling in love doctor and hipster doofus scenes. And I was like, oh, this movie's about to hit a wall. And it was like, nope, we got some tricks up our sleeves still.
Yeah, we're going to destroy some cars.
There's a main goon who you know is the main goon because he's wearing like a denim vest with no shirt under it. And then like an Indian bead necklace that I think has like a raptor claw on it on the
end
or something.
One dangly cross earring.
So you know like, okay, this guy's Dalton's equivalent. He's probably the only dude who can take him in a fight. We're going to do a big fight with him.
He's cool. He was cool.
So yeah, he comes and he tries to burn down Emmett's house. Emmett is the guy that Swayze is renting the barn loft from. Swayze sees him, so then he outruns him, even though he's on a dirt bike, and like jump kicks him off of it.
Well, he catches him at the pass.
Yeah, and then they have a big climactic fight by the fucking river, which is probably the most legendary scene from this movie, the thing everybody remembers. They fucking kick the shit out of each other, and then fucking Swayze rips his fucking throat out.
Yeah.
Just with his fingers. Kali Maz's his fucking fingers into his throat and then rips it out.
Throat lozenges.
You're going to want to take the whole box.
Awesome. Got another throat rip in.
Cool.
Might go for the turkey.
The turkey?
Yeah, it's a bowling term for when you get three strikes in a row. And I applied that to throat rips.
That's sick.
Maybe. But if ripping throats gets that warhead back, I'll suck as many dicks as I rip as many throats as I have to. Did you hear that?
No.
He's all choked up at one point in the movie earlier for having to had to kill somebody. And then this happens.
Mm-hmm.
He's just all too eager.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like a, just, man.
And then after
animal
this
instinct.
Happens, all bets are off, man.
Yeah.
This movie goes from like a movie about breaking up bar fights to just like violent killings for the entire third act.
Now.
And I was sort of like a little bit mediocre up to this point. Just like, see, the interesting thing about Roadhouse is it's a movie that I thought that I'd seen a million times. It's like, yeah, I've seen Roadhouse a million times. Roadhouse is great. But I realized, like, I've seen Roadhouse on TBS a million times, which means, like, I've watched it in bits and pieces. And I've watched it edited. The amount of times I've actually sat and watched the real Roadhouse from opening credits to end credits,
blood.
Like... probably not that many times.
I haven't
maybe
seen
like,
it in like at least 20 years.
Yeah, maybe like 4 times in my life. So some of this felt fresh. And just like once the violence started escalating and the kills were happening, once Gazzara's goons come and fucking beat the shit out of Sam Elliott and then stab a knife in his chest with a note on it, I was just like, hell yeah. Romance was not doing it for me. Bar fights were a little cartoony but fun, but now we're getting good, man. Now we're getting good.
Now people's going to die.
Yeah, so I used to fuck guys like you in prison. Pretty much the coolest thing to say to a dude in a fight.
Yeah.
Ripping that guy's throat out to be like, hey, this is my comeback.
Coolest way to end
a fight. Best comeback, definitely, ever. And then we get the big fucking assault on Ben Gazzara's compound.
Oh, I also really like Dalton then dragging his lifeless body across the river to be like, Ben.
Just yelling.
I'm coming for you.
Just yelling.
And then, that's pretty cool.
And then his girlfriend's all like, I don't know if we can date anymore because you're a fucking stone cold killer. And he's like, I get your point, but I'm about to kill about 8 more dudes.
Look away.
So it's cool. He fucking takes the knife that they stabbed into Sam Elliott, stabs it into the fucking gas pedal of his car, sends his car careening towards the mansion. They're all fucking unloading on this because they're ready for Dalton to come and retaliate.
Yeah.
The car is not stopping because there is no driver.
No.
And then it just fucking flips over like a short fucking stone, like a little wall, and just explodes midair for no reason.
Well, got shot with a shotgun.
I mean, you could say like, yeah, he hit the gas tank with his shotgun, which is what they always say
but
in fucking movies.
But yeah, no, he exploded for no reason.
But yeah, just exploded for no fucking reasons. If you shoot at a car in an 80s action movie, it's going up in huge flames.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm cheering. We've got an assault on the compound. We've got all sorts of shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
They find the knife that's stabbed into the gas pedal. Old guy pulls it out, puts it right in his sheath.
Yeah.
So that's how you know, like, oh,
that's
this is his knife. That's the guy that fucking killed Wade Garrett.
He's got to go.
Now it's on. When he gets taken out, it's going to be fucking sweet.
So, yeah, he just starts going through the house one by one.
Taking them out.
Picking them off.
Guns, machine guns going on.
Yeah.
Fucking stabs the one guy with his own knife. Then he throws that knife, like, upstairs and hits a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Kills him with a knife.
Hits Pat in the gut.
Fucking traps the big fat goon in the fucking trophy room and pushes a polar bear onto him.
Yeah, even though the fat guy had, like, 15 minutes to just take 2 steps to the left.
Sure, but he says when he enters the room, oh, man,
yeah.
I'm afraid of these stuffed animals or something. So we establish it. He's off his game. And then Patrick Swayze starts moving them around like they're haunted or something. And he freezes.
Slowly,
he's terrified.
Slowly moves the, or knocks the polar bear over. Like, seriously, it took like the polar
so
bear like
cartoony and
60
stupid.
Seconds to
it has,
fall
like,
over.
No fucking place in this action scene
and
whatsoever.
The fat guy makes
it's
like
so
the
weird.
The Newman weird panic noise.
He's
it's
doing
like a,
Don Knotts. Yeah, he's doing a fucking Don Knotts impression. Like he's got to spend the night in a haunted house, and the piano just started playing.
Yeah, and then the boss fight.
If I've got one argument about this, it's that he takes out a small army of dudes and just like kills them all handily. And then it's just like, okay, now that you've done that, we've got to treat old man Ben Gazzara as the boss fight. Like this is something that's going to be a problem for Dalton. And
you're
just like,
in shape as shit.
Yeah, no, Dalton's just going to kick the shit out of him real quick, man. There's really no tension left here.
But that was not the case. They dragged it out.
They did a little bit. He did some classic like Ric Flair cheating, like begging off and then revealing a sneak gun and shooting him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
But it was I still think it was a low stakes lame fight.
Yeah.
Until
was.
All the other town folks show up with shotguns and they just start shotgunning the shit out of Ben Gazzara cuz they got some crazy fucking blood squib tech going on here. Once he starts getting shotgunned, there's huge chunks of him just getting blown out of him.
And he's okay.
There's like 5 or 6 of him, and he's still screaming and like falling through glass tables.
Yeah.
And just at this point, every surface in the fucking living room is just splattered with blood. It's a great big blood firework finale, which I fully enjoyed.
And then they see the sheriffs coming, and so one of them's like, well, give me all the shotguns. I'll hide them real quick.
That was Red. Yeah. Red hides all the shotguns.
Red. Red West.
Red was pretty cool.
Who was a member of Elvis's Memphis Mafia.
Oh, I was not aware.
Yeah,
that's Red a fun
West.
Little fact.
Yeah. I think he was in one or two of the old Elvis movies in the 50s
or
60s.
Oh, man, that's cool.
But anyways, he hides all the shotguns, and then the sheriff gets in there, who used to be paid off by Brad Wesley.
Oh, yeah, but now his fucking meal ticket's dead on the floor.
Yeah.
There ain't no more fucking checks rolling
like,
in.
What do I do? And all the business guys are like, we didn't see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff's like, well, apparently I don't answer to anyone, so I'm just going to sweep this dead body under the rug.
He's never done any sheriffing in his life. He doesn't need a homicide on his hands. This isn't going to look good in the books.
Dead bodies just disappearing.
This is small town Missouri. This is shit happens every day.
Yes, maybe in the
every
80s.
Fucking day. People keep their mouths shut.
So
snitches get stitches.
So he's gone. Apparently the bar's still good because we get fucking Jeff Healy giving
Do
us
we get some more Jeff Healy? I thought we cut straight to the skinny dipping.
Well, yeah, but he's playing. They show the skinny dipping.
Over the end credits, we're getting credits, more Jeff Healy playing.
He's covering
the bar.
Some Dylan.
Everybody's having a good time because the town's no longer overrun
Darkness
by a fucking
down from the sky.
Pseudo crime boss. Yeah. Not really a crime boss, but definitely a bad dude.
Yeah.
I mean, over the course of the movie, he became a crime boss. He was burning down people's businesses and killing people and whatnot.
He's just a bad
This
guy.
Is what it, this was the fall of a man. We watched Ben Gazzara's fall. That's what this movie's about.
And then that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
I got a couple little quick rapid fires.
Yeah.
That we
rapid
cover.
Fire.
Covered a couple of them. Number one, I just
rapid
want to point
fire.
Out. We got Keith David of the famous 12-minute-long fist fight from They Live.
Hell
just
yeah.
Playing a bartender who gets like one line and doesn't fight anybody. Huge fucking waste. How are you going to throw Keith David in here and not have him like get involved in any of these brawls or do anything cool?
He had an introductory scene.
Yeah, but it was just like,
and then
for
they,
what?
No, he had
then
an introductory
he doesn't become a character.
Scene where he fought somebody and they cut it.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently the original runtime of this movie was like 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Great. I'll keep watching.
Yeah.
As long as it's all fights. Second one, it's just a thing that a sleazy guy says in the bar when trying to pick up a lady. What do you say we get nipple to nipple? I thought that was a good line.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing to say to somebody.
To which she says, I can do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which means she could just push
just
her titties
pushes,
in.
Yeah,
I think so. That's what I thought of. I liked it.
Either way, I'm going to start saying that to girls out in public.
One, and I'm going to play off of that. They should have. The opening scene where they not the opening scene of the movie, but where they establish the Deuce is Wild or whatever the fuck, Double
the
Deuce.
The Double Deuce?
Yeah. Where the establishing scene of the Double Deuce where it's all that fucking local flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Give me like 2 more hours of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's probably what they cut so they could get to the plot or the romance. And it's like, nah, just
wasted.
Give me some more cooling, man. Yeah. This is a movie about a cooler. I want more cooling.
Just, all these mutant drunks and just like yeah,
I mean it's not fucking No Holds Barred level good, but it gets pretty good.
Yeah,
it gets pretty dirty in there.
That's all I care to talk
okay,
about.
Okay, so that wraps up our thoughts on Roadhouse here. So that wraps up our thoughts. It just, you know, wraps up our deep thoughts. Now it's gonna fucking get knifed. Now we're gonna pull it out, take it out to the woodshed, because it's time for it to
not enter. The torture shed.
Judgment Day.
We'll be back.
I lost everything.
It's not what you did, son. It's who you did it to.
The nobody?
That nobody is John Wick.
On October 24th.
Hey, John.
People keep asking if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
John Wick.
How good's your laundry?
No one's that good.
It's October 24th.
You wanted me back. I'm back.
How exciting.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's coming.
Somebody, please! Get this man a gun.
John Wick, Chapter 2, starts February 10th.
You hear the rules? You broke them.
Our service is still off limits to me.
What do you need?
Guns. Lots of guns.
$14 million bounty. And everyone in the city wants a piece of it. I'd say the odds are about even.
It's good to have you back. I'll catch up with you, John.
No, you won't.
John Wick, Chapter 3, rated R, May 17.
Sha-na-na, sha-na-na, na-na-na, sha-na-na, sha-na-na, na-na-na,
sha-na-na.
Definitely. Sha-na-na. That builds real good.
Yeah, we gotta start getting into more Natalie Merchant.
I mean, I don't think I could possibly get into more Natalie Merchant.
So yeah?
I sleep to that stuff because I heard that it makes you smarter.
How often are you listening to Carnival?
Every Sunday morning, I like to wake up,
put
a pot
on.
Of coffee on, and
just
put Carnival
start it on
and
vinyl.
Just,
start
you
to
know,
finish.
Just have a lazy Sunday in the kitchen.
I mean, it's one of those things that every day and every year that goes past, I'm just like, every time I come back to it and hear it again, I'm like,
man,
yeah,
more of a lame old man I turn into, the more mellow and soothing this shit sounds. I'm really into it.
Nice. Like before I would be like, oh no, you need a Sheryl Crow or like a Sarah McLachlan. And now I'm just like,
I'm not here to poo-poo either of them.
They're doing too much.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, I mean, I still love them, don't get me wrong. But now I've come to a point in my life where I'm just like,
you're thinking of Tori Amos. Like, she's the one out there doing too much. Like, take a hike, Toots. You got too many ideas. I want a solid Natalie Merchant. That's a woman you could set your pocket watch to.
Tori Amos real into Jesus now?
Oh, God, even worse. Judgment Day is when we take the film that we've discussed. We cut it open. We give it its final judgment. We decide how good or bad it is. Because that's what talking about movies is all about. It's the thumbs up, the thumbs down. Is it good or is it bad? You don't want to be talking about themes or like character arcs like all these whiny Game of Thrones fans.
No,
and
that's
shit.
Not what this podcast is
just like, good
is
or
about.
Bad, sucks this or is... blows. And cut to the fucking chase, buddy.
Just to reestablish our ratings. We're not rating these as like, is this a good movie? Like, is this Sicily Ebert? Is it a thumbs up, thumbs? We're rating these as action movies.
Well, we're talking about action movies. I'm rating them as action movies.
1 out of 5 bullets. How does it stand
How
up?
How many bullets you get
as an action movie?
Okay. That established, I'm going to start reading some reviews that I've scoured the internet for.
You spend weeks doing this.
Literally weeks.
We've got this show planned out for 5 years, and you're already, you're on what, 2022 right now?
Yeah, reviews? Somewhere around there. Literally, I've got this planned out for like 18 months, which is ridiculous on its own, but whatever. Okay, so I found some one bullet reviews so we can get a taste of what you, the people who didn't like it, thought. I got some 5 bullet reviews so we can see what you, the people who loved it, thought.
Ordinary fucking people. Can't stand them.
Can't stand them. R.I.P. Harry Dean. First one bullet review is from an Amazon user named A New Yorker.
Huh.
If you like watching ignorant, ugly men do horrible things to each other with carves, knives, guns, and fists, this is your movie.
With carves or cars?
Cars.
Okay.
Cars, knives, guns, and fists.
I mean, it's IMDb.
This is your movie. Otherwise, please rest assured you can skip this one. One bullet from A New Yorker.
Wow.
That's some hoity-toity bullshit. Yeah. Just fucking gets my blood boiling, man.
Yeah, I'm not saying this one's an Oscar contender, but come on, get over yourself.
This one next one bullet review I think is a bit more fair. We're getting somebody who's going to judge it on the level of an action movie, not just attack the genre like you. Yeah. I want to throw that one in just... say how stupid it is to not approach a movie on its own terms, but wish that it was something different that it isn't.
What'd you think you were getting, you dipshit?
This one's from Letterboxd user Willa. She takes a much more fucking even balanced approach to it. Willa says, a personal thing about me. I watched this movie one night with my then boyfriend and his roommate. Later that night, I saw texts on his phone proving he was cheating on me. And when I called him out, he pulled a Roadhouse and beat the living shit out of me.
Wow.
He ended up breaking my arm and leaving me with never-ending trauma. Months later, while I am safe and away from him, speaking to prosecutors and his lawyer over the phone, and I am in-depth retelling my traumatic story, and my ex-boyfriend's lawyer makes a fucking joke about how we were watching Roadhouse before I was allegedly assaulted, and then finished off with a, and they're remaking it with Ronda Rousey. I assure you, I will never see that remake. One bullet from Willa.
That's a different podcast altogether, Nate.
Okay, maybe there's not much we can do to help Willa there. She didn't like the movie. Sorry, it was a bad experience. Here's somebody.
But the balls on that attorney. You know, like,
she must have had no case.
In the back of his head.
If there was any fucking, like, you know, records of that arm being broken, there's no way that dude's making Roadhouse jokes.
Plus, like, you know, he was sitting on that fuck guys like you in prison joke, like, the entire time. Like, I can work this in there. I can work this in.
Willa, we're calling you out. This sounds like a false flag.
Yeah.
I think I'm on the lawyer side.
Yeah.
One more one bullet review. This one really digs into the movie, so I wanted to include it. This is from IMDb user Excalibur212. Didn't like the movie much, Excalibur says. After seeing this movie promoted
and satirized
for over 20 years, I don't know. Oh. I thought it was finally time I watched it. This has to be one of the dumbest, most insanely ridiculous movies ever made. Almost every scene in the entire plot was so laughably fake and ridiculous. It's amazing to me anyone in this film was ever able to land another acting, directing, or writing job after this. I mean, come on. The daily bar fights where they're destroying half the bar, doing 10 to 30,000 worth of damage, and everyone sits by like this happens every night. It immediately brought to mind the flashback scene in Airplane, where a fight broke out almost every night. It was that ridiculously staged and directed. Give me a break. I don't care what subplot they had going on. If that kind of damage was done to a bar every night, they couldn't stay in business more than 2 days, even if they were being run by the mob. They'd have to rebuild the place, order tens of thousands of dollars of new furniture and liquor every day. What a joke. Then the cliched and hackneyed scene, one after the other, where the story just centers around Patrick Swayze's chest and a bunch of third-rate actors giving each other evil eye.
His chest was the least developed part of him in this, the whole movie.
I know, but somebody had their eyes on that chest. I love how everyone from big fat guys to the 50, 60-year-old owners and crooked townspeople apparently know jujitsu can fight off entire crowds Bruce Lee style. LOFL. I've seen a lot of bad 80s movies in my day, and many that have held up extremely well over the years. This is definitely not one of them, as it was never worth even filming to begin with. I laughed so hard at almost every line of dialogue and laughable scene that took itself so seriously. If you give this a good review, you must have doo-doo for brains. If you own this movie, you must be mentally challenged and to really take an IQ test.
Wow.
Ha! One star from Excalibur 212.
Way to attack the handicapped at the end there.
Yeah, Excalibur. Trump-esque.
Yeah.
So I'm saying right now these one-bullet reviews haven't really swayed me to their side. Definitely not giving this one a one-bullet review. Let's see if these five-bullet reviews can convince me to give it a five-bullet review, though. This first one...
I'll give it a whirl.
It's from Letterboxd user Davis. Shortened to the point here, he says... It's my day off this week, so you know what that means. I just watched Roadhouse and ate an entire brick of Cracker Barrel cheese. There's nothing quite like Denim Swayze spin-kicking goons left and right. Majestic, powerful, American. Five bullets.
I didn't hear anything you said after Cracker Barrel cheese.
I really want to eat some cheese right now. It got me hard, like some sharp cheddar from Cracker Barrel. Ooh. Ooh.
Why do they even sell mild or medium?
Oh, don't get me started on fucking mild or medium cheddar.
I think we've attacked.
Anytime I open a fridge and see that shit, I just spit on the floor.
I think we've attacked it here on the show before.
Congratulations, you just handed somebody like $4 for nothing.
Yeah. Fucking loser!
Next five bullet reviews from IMDb user El Guapo 2.
That's a pretty cool name.
This movie is a masterpiece, a throwback to the Walking Tall and Billy Jack era of cinema. The trailer trash drive-in cinema that Joe Bob Briggs waxes poetic about.
Man, I wouldn't go that far.
For those of you in the unaware, Patrick Swayze is Dalton, the bouncer of bouncers, who studied at the cooler school of bouncing run by Yoda, Wade Garrett, played to perfection by the king of cool, Sam Elliott. Way fucking cooler than Yoda, fucking Wade Garrett. What was that thrown in there? Dalton is no ordinary bouncer. He holds a PhD in philosophy from NYU of all places and considers himself lucky to hold such an esteemed position in the socioeconomic ladder of life. Roadhouse runs a fine balance between hilarious and unintentionally hilarious, and this is what makes it so entertaining. I could go on and on about all the things that make this movie so entertaining, but the hands-down most entertaining part would be the mano-a-mano fight to the death between Dalton and Jimmy, where Jimmy says what has to be one of the most classic lines ever spoken in filmdom. I won't ruin it for you, though. Good thing we already did. The interesting thing here to me
right out the gate,
I'm reading these reviews, and I'm thinking these one-bullet reviews is making this sound like a much better movie to me than these five-bullet reviews. Yeah. Like, I don't think these people are fucking, until I found the next one, these people weren't really making the case very well for why I should think Roadhouse is such a great movie.
Lay it on me.
But this next five-bullet review is from IMDb user Will Da Beast.
Hell yeah.
So it's like his name's Will, but also Wildebeest, but like all together as a thing.
I'm not following.
It's pretty cool. So Wildebeest says, "Hurts, don't it? Well, you're lucky, dude. Stomp to the knee. Not as bad as some mean hombre blindsiding your face pretty good with a bottle of Jack Daniels while a 200-pound gator farmer does a Mexican hat dance on your balls. Or when one hell of a woman just decides she's had enough of your charms and ties them to the front end of Bigfoot before driving it over a bottle bank. Or when a guy you love like a son turns his back on you, tears of rage running down his face, collar and haircut. You don't know pain. I live it. Eat it up. No thanks, I'm not hungry right now, fella. Sure am thirsty, though. Let's go somewhere I can get me a beer." 5 bullets from Wildebeest.
What Henry Rollins poem book is that in?
You thinking that's not a Wildebeest original?
No.
He's spitting some Rollins at us?
That's straight Henry Rollins.
I can see that.
Unless Wildebeest is just Henry Rollins.
That shit's too pretty for IMDb, I'll tell you that right now. But I really painted a picture, I felt like.
Sure did.
And then I was thinking, like, maybe Roadhouse is a 5-bullet review.
I like to consider myself a modern-day street prophet.
Yeah, you sure do, Henry Rollins.
He's cool. He's cool as hell.
I feel like he named himself like a modern-day street prophet warrior poet, sort of the same way Quentin Tarantino decided he had his own N-word pass. I think they both kind of went down the same way.
I think Henry Rollins is accurate, though.
Yeah, I saw those Penelope Spheeris docs. He was pretty cool when he was a young dude.
One of them was in Black Flag. Not Quentin Tarantino.
Let's get to our final thoughts, though. Let's go into your judgment. Now that you've been swayed one way and the next, where do you land? Now you've been swayed one way or the other. Where are you landing? What are your final thoughts? What is your bullet review?
Man, a lot of thoughts going into this one. Mm. Hadn't seen it, like I said, in at least, like, high school would probably be the last, so like at least 20 years.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Look at this photograph. Oh,
yeah. Hell yeah, brother.
Every time I do it, makes me laugh. I remembered it mainly being a chick flick in my head, you know?
Oh, wow. No, like, no. Not so much.
In my head,
I guess
like,
all the Patrick Swayze, though, I saw a lot of dumb reviews that were talking about how homoerotic it is, and I'm like, no, it's not homoerotic at all. There's just a lot of male sexuality in it. Yeah.
And like,
this is all for ladies.
My favorite movie stars are Pamela Anderson and Patrick Swayze. Patrick Swayze is sexy. He's good looking. I love that man to death. Would pay money to touch him. When I was born without any toes on my feet at all. I would pick up things with the balls of my feet instead of my toes. I had trouble walking on my feet.
And that's the thing, like, all you just repressed, closeted fucking homosexuals, like, I'm never ever gonna shame the gay community, but you guys living in fucking wanting to
They're
hate
to
everybody else, like, just like,
no,
it's fucking gay, it's gay, it's gay.
You are no
get over yourself
with.
That you masturbate and think about dicks every once in a while.
Sure,
like, that's your hang up,
if
not
you
mine,
can't
man.
Appreciate
like,
fucking what Patrick Swayze's body's doing in Roadhouse. Then you are gay, dude.
You pepper in
That's
some
the
shit.
Gayest thing I've ever heard. Because Patrick Swayze looks great in this fucking movie.
Like, get over it. Like, your woman ain't complaining when they're flashing people's titties left and right in a movie. Like, just get over yourself,
man. I
mean,
some of them do. I've met some uppity bitches.
That's fair. That's fair. But everybody, like, just get a take a lesson from the fucking French, man.
Mm-hmm.
You put a good-looking naked body
French
in a
French got
like,
a lot of things figured out.
Whatever.
Full frontal, cheese.
Whatever.
They both do both of them better than anybody.
No. Oh, you don't want cheese with your full frontal, though.
Maybe some of that Cracker Barrel sharp cheddar.
No, you don't.
Don't tell me what I want.
Oh,
now you're fucking kink shaming.
Doctor's appointment.
Get that out of here.
So there's a little bit of a little bit of something for everybody in this movie. It is more action based than I remembered. It's again, your memories of it become skewed and whatever because of all the fucking TV edits.
Those TBS
and you don't,
blips going
You don't
on
remember
in your brain.
What you really saw anymore. And I guess my point is it's It's a watchable movie, but it's a movie not without its faults. And to me, that third act really just comes off the rails where, like, he's just like, they're trying to be like, he's a loner, but he's kind of cool. You kind of like him.
And then
he's
just like, old men in town like him.
And he's just like, ah, fuck it, I'm a killing machine. And maybe something was lost in translation when they whittled the movie down from 3+ hours to an hour and 54, which is still pretty fucking long.
Release the rowdy cut. That's what I'm saying.
I got to go 2.5 on this
one. 2.5 bullets on Roadhouse.
I'm saying it's not bad. It's just,
yeah, that's not a terrible review.
It's
but
just a shade under good.
Not a big fan of Roadhouse.
It's just a shade under good.
Okay.
A movie not without its faults. That's all I'm saying.
I'll buy that. I think that's reasonable. I feel like this movie's got some solid bar fights, a lot of fun. Terry Funk body slamming dudes through tables. It's good stuff. Got a real piece of shit bad guy played by Ben Gazzara. He's just a sneering evil cocksucker. Yeah. I always love that. Patrick Swayze's just in shape and doing feats of strength.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Throat mutilation's fucking cool. All this shit I love. Third act goes off the rails in a way I fucking love. Everybody just starts dying. Everything starts exploding. All this shit's great, but Dalton is a smarmy prick, and I hate him.
Yeah.
And a movie starring Sam Elliott's character would have been far more fire.
Yes.
Wade Garrett just like fucking working at that titty bar. Give me that movie.
He shows
would've
up.
Liked it more.
He's in far too little of the movie.
Romance angle doesn't take up as much runtime as your memory was leading you to believe.
That's fair.
But it is tacked on and useless. The boobs were mostly fakos, but there were one pair of solid floppy boobs, so gotta call that one a wash. I feel like Roadhouse is decent, not great. I gotta give it slightly above middle of the road because of the throat pulling out scene and the fucking I fuck guys like you in prison line, so I'm going 3.5 bullets because it's reached iconic status.
I could see going that way.
3.5 I'm going. Happy 30th, Roadhouse.
I understand where you're at. And I'm not saying there's one right or wrong answer.
No.
Just one man's opinion.
No, there are faults in Roadhouse.
Yeah.
This is sort of a taste-making thing.
And I enjoy me some Swayze.
I feel
like
we're both reasonable men.
I think I'm just upset that I didn't get to like Swayze as much as I wanted to like Swayze in this, you know?
Gone too soon.
I think that was my real hang-up.
Never got Roadhouse 2 where they worked out all the kinks. Or we did get Roadhouse 2, but Swayze didn't involve himself.
He did, yeah. He took the high road.
We're both reasonable men when it comes to rating things. You know who's not a reasonable man?
I don't know.
John Wick after you kill his dog, man. This guy just starts fucking going nuts.
Killed my fucking dog, man.
No, we're not doing Blown Away next week. We are. John Wick 3 has hit theaters. It's sweeping the nation, so we're throwing a big John Wick party. We're gonna cover
crazy.
The John Wick trilogy next week.
We're going live, real, current movies.
I'm gonna watch the first two. I'm gonna write down some notes. But then
I'm not gonna do that.
But then we're just gonna go plow through John Wick 3 and talk about it right afterwards. Just stream of conscious. See how that works. So
we're gonna get drunk for that though, right?
Slightly bit of a different format. We're gonna be a little bit drunker.
Where are we getting drunk? We're gonna be TGI Fridays or Chili's?
I think I want. Oh, that's
or
a good question.
Whatever you want.
I legitimately like some of Chili's food, but TGI Fridays is funnier.
Yeah.
So that's rough.
Or
but
we
we're
come
getting
up with something else.
We're getting chain restaurant drunk. We're watching John Wick 3,
well,
and then we're fucking talking
Hooters
about it.
We're drunk too.
Oh yeah, we do like Hooters.
Yeah,
it's sort of a thing we do.
Man, we got a lot of options here. Yeah,
maybe we're going bar hopping.
We're gonna get
3 chain restaurant bars, 3 John Wick movies.
Ooh, I like where your head's at, sir. It's gonna be a hell of a fucking Memorial Day weekend on Baby Oil and Blow, Sam Elliott. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own, and it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. Yeah. could use a friend.